transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our summer show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents a new musical play by Lawrence and Lee, The Emperor of San Francisco, starring Gordon McRae and his guest, beautiful Dorothy Warren Show. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another musical premiere is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, did you know that the United States once had an emperor? Yes, sir. His capital city wasn't Washington, or New York, or Philadelphia. It was
San Francisco. Open your garden gate. You let no stranger wait outside your door.
And tonight, I'm going to be that emperor of San Francisco. His name was Joshua Norton, an adventurer who came west with the gold rush and probably sang this song with the mountain sick miners in the days of 49.
I've traveled the mountains all over, and now to the valleys I'll go, and live like a pig in the clover, in sight of huge mountains of snow.
In sight of huge mountains of snow, in sight of huge mountains of snow.
I live like a pig in the clover, in sight of huge mountains of snow. I'm greatly in favor of mining, with me though it does not agree. I'd rather be gently reclining with beauty upon a settee.
With beauty upon a settee, with beauty upon a settee.
I'd rather be gently reclining with beauty upon a settee. I'm not much in favor of thieving, at least not the way that I feel. But I'll never work for a living so long as I'm able to steal.
So long as I'm able to steal, boy, so long as I'm able to steal.
But I'll never work for a living so long as I'm able to steal.
Say, did you hear what happened to Josh Norton? Lost all his money. And you know what else I heard? They say it affected his mind.
I wish to dispatch a telegram.
Well, you come to the right place. This ain't a butcher shop. Where's it going?
To the President of the United States, Washington, D.C.
Oh? Well, he'll be glad to hear from you. What's the message?
Well,
I'm Emperor Norton by royal decree. I hereby abolish the presidency.
Well, that's interesting.
As Emperor Norton, I govern the land. Both houses of Congress I promptly disband.
How do you want to sign this telegram, Majesty?
Norton the First, Emperor of the United States.
Well, that'll be 75 cents to break the bad news to the White House.
The Emperor of the United States must pay to issue a royal decree?
Oh, you gotta understand, Majesty. The telegraph company's gotta live too, you know.
Ah, yes, yes, you're right. I shall pay you with the bond of empire.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. The Imperial Government of the United States promises to pay the bearer at an interest rate of 4% per annum from date in gold or silver coin What was the amount?
6 bits.
Ah. 6 bits. Signed, Norton the First, Emperor of the United States.
And you can imagine the consternation at court when Madame de Valerie returned the invitation.
Ah, Countess, how exciting it is for us in San Francisco to hear the news from the capitals of Europe.
Ah, Vienna, Paris, Rome, these are the old capitals where weariness is king. Ah, but in your beautiful city of hills, I feel the surge of new life, uncurbed by the will of monarchs.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Countess. San Francisco has its king.
His Majesty Norton the First.
Why, but how charming. I should like to meet your Emperor Norton. Where does he hold court?
Oh, on the streets, in the free lunch counters.
But always attended by his prime minister and privy councillor, his dog.
Pray, how does one obtain an audience with such a monarch?
Norton will seek the audience with you, Countess, when you sing at the opening of our new opera house.
We are very fortunate that such a flower of European nobility honors us with her talents.
Oh, it is I who am fortunate. For what opera company in Europe has so young and handsome a director?
Oh, you're joking, my dear Countess.
Not at all, Mr. Briggs. On the continent, the managers are all bald and bespectacled with triple chins and mutton chop whiskers. They do little to inspire the great love songs of Verdi or Fonfloto. Ah, but when one is singing for a director like Mr. Briggs, well, that is an entirely different matter. Thank you, gentlemen. I only hope that the patrons of your opera house... how do you do?
I beg you to forgive this intrusion.
Really?
You come quite uninvited, sir.
I know. I was passing by in the street below, and I heard a voice. Such a voice as sings in angel choir.
I humbly ask your pardon, Countess. My servants should have stopped him on the stairs.
Who is he?
I am Norton the First. Emperor of the United States, and... your eternal servant, madam.
Oh, Mr. Briggs, where are your manners? Present me.
This, your majesty, is the Countess Esterhazy, who has sung for the crowned heads of Europe.
The Countess is San Francisco's guest for the opera season.
Ah, then you are thrice welcome in our domains, Countess. For your voice, for your service to our brother sovereigns of Europe, but most of all for your gracious self, Countess.
He speaks like an emperor.
I am an emperor, my lady.
And what affairs of state have occupied you today, Your Majesty?
Well, I've asked the Bank of San Francisco to loan me $70 million to build a bridge across the Golden Gate.
How preposterous.
Absurd. A bridge across the Golden Gate. Insane.
It is possible.
All right now, old fellow. We've had enough of your dreaming.
Please accept my imperial gratitude for your hospitality. But most of all, I am grateful for this meeting with the incomparable Countess Esterhazy.
Oh, your Majesty does me too great honor.
I must take my leave. Good night. Good night to you all.
Good night, Your Majesty. Good night.
The Countess Esterhazy. Hello, Lazarus. Good dog. Lazarus, I must tell you something. I think I am in love. Listen, Lazarus. She's singing again. But what chance do I have? I am merely an emperor, but she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Return for the second act of The Emperor of San Francisco in just a moment. The American railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. How often have you heard that as these Monday night programs open? But let's pause a moment tonight and talk about what this basic transportation service of railroads means to you. Without it, the United States could not produce as it does, and none of us could live as we do in peacetime. While in time of national emergency, as we have learned from experience, railroads are absolutely essential to the defense of the nation. And what does this essential service cost? Well, it costs so little that even today, with all the inflation in prices, the railroads still haul freight at charges which average less than 1.5 cents for moving a ton of freight 1 mile. No other form of public transportation serving all sections of the country even approaches so low a level of charges per ton per mile. For hauling a ton of freight 1 mile, the railroads get now an average of about 45% more than they did back in pre-war days in 1939, an increase which is only about one-third as much as the rise in the level of prices generally, or the increase in wage rates and the prices railroads pay for fuel and supplies. Prices have gone up so much faster and farther than freight rates, in fact, that railroad charges, always a small fraction of the cost of most things you buy, represent today a still smaller proportion. This is true even after recent freight rate increases. In fact, these increases, even when applied to combined hauls averaging many hundreds of miles on such basic commodities as livestock and meat, or wheat and flour, or on almost any finished commodity and the materials which enter into it, amount in most cases to no more than a small fraction of a cent per pound, or whatever the ordinary unit of sale may be. And applying these increases on all raw materials and parts, on food and fuel, on everything that is moved and at every step of the way, the increase amounts on the average to less than 1/3 of 1% of the wholesale value of commodities at destination. And of course, to a still smaller proportion of retail prices. Two of the Lawrence and Lee operetta, The Emperor of San Francisco, starring Gordon MacRae as His Imperial Majesty Norton I, and Dorothy Warren Scholl as the Countess Esterhazy. And now, let's take a box seat at the San Francisco Opera House and listen to her thrilling voice. Curtain call, Countess.
Mr. Briggs, I am furious.
But, Countess, everything on the stage went perfectly.
I am displeased about something in the audience.
Another curtain call, Countess.
My dear friends, I thank you for your applause. Did you know that tonight's opera was a command performance? It's although you would never guess it, for our manager, Mr. Briggs, gave the Emperor Norton the worst seat in the last balcony. Henceforth, a royal box shall be reserved for our beloved monarch.
Countess Esterhazy, everyone in San Francisco knows that Norton is a fraud, a comic lunatic.
A poor, deluded man with a generous nature and a great heart. And certain opera managers could learn a great deal about gentleness from Norton the First. Good night.
Countess!
Your Majesty.
Yes?
I come to ask your royal advice.
It shall be freely given. Please, dear Countess, you must forgive the appearance of my royal palace, but I have seen so many of my subjects in need of food and shelter that I have turned my palace into the Eureka boarding house.
How generous of your Majesty.
Now, what is the advice which you seek from me?
Your Majesty, I am in love.
Oh?
Well, but the person whom I love does not fully realize that I love him.
Oh.
He is a patron of the arts.
Yes.
Extremely handsome.
Really, really, dear Countess.
Now, only one thing worries me.
Yes?
He doesn't like you.
He... Well, who is this gentleman who enjoys the favor of your affection?
Peter Briggs, the director of the opera.
Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Briggs. After the seat he gave me at the opening of the opera, I had planned to sentence him to 10 years in my imperial penitentiary at San Quentin.
Oh, no.
But I shall commute the sentence if you are truly in love with him.
Well, I'm accustomed to European noblemen, gentle and dignified in manner. But Mr. Briggs is so quick to anger.
Well, he came by his fortune in the gold fields and There's little of manners in mining, dear Countess.
I know.
The life they lead, the songs they sing in the Sierras, it's a far cry from the capitals of Europe. Now, can you imagine this song echoing in the courts of the Habsburgs or the Hohenzollerns?
In a canyon, in a cavern, excavating for a mine, dwells a miner, 40 miner, and his daughter Clementine.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine, thou art gone, but not forgotten, oh, my darling Clementine.
A verse to that, Your Majesty.
Well, sing it, sing it.
Drove she ducklings to the water every morning just at nine. Hit her foot against a splinter, fell into the foaming brine.
That's it.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine. Thou art gone, but not forgotten, oh, my darling Clementine.
Good evening.
Oh, Peter.
Mr. Briggs.
I come to apologize, sire. For the ill treatment which you received at the Opera House. Hereafter, you will be accorded the dignity and honor due to the Emperor of the United States.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Briggs. And henceforth, I shall count you one of my devoted subjects. Lazarus? Lazarus? Now, where is that dog of mine? Lazarus!
Your Majesty.
Hey?
Emperor Norton, how are you, my old friend?
Why, my dear Countess.
Why, have you forgotten? I am Mrs. Briggs now.
Yes, yes. Time plays odd tricks on the mind.
Did I hear you calling for Lazarus?
Yes. Have you seen that dog of mine? He's wandered off.
Why, Lazarus is dead, Your Majesty.
Dead?
Don't you remember? He passed away many years ago.
Oh, of course, of course. It slipped my mind, I guess. Poor Lazarus.
Are you taking care of yourself, Emperor?
I'm very, very fit.
You know, my husband and I both owe you a great deal.
Oh? How is that?
Well, it was you who taught Peter humility. From you, he learned that there is a great difference between a gentleman and a gentleman.
Yes, I remember. I remember.
Tell me, Your Majesty, in all these years, have you never been in love?
In love? Oh, never. Never in love.
Not once. Not even a little bit, Your Majesty.
Perhaps. A little.
Your Majesty, help! Someone help me!
You've been too good to me, Countess. I should not have troubled you with my dying.
Oh, you must not say that, Your Majesty.
I feel the strangest doubt in my mind. Is it possible that I am not really the Emperor of the United States?
Oh, you are an emperor, and a great one.
Or has it been a wild and foolish dream? Tell me. You would know. You're a real countess.
No, Your Majesty. I was never the Countess Esterhazy.
What?
I made it up. A convenient fiction, a handy lie to advance my career.
I refuse to believe it.
It is true.
Well, then I shall issue a decree making you a countess. No, a princess. An empress.
Oh, please, lie back.
Sing for me. Would you sing for me?
Because you command it, Your Majesty. 'Tis the last of summer, left go.
There you are, Lazarus. Where have you been, good Lazarus? Where have you been?
Oh, what memories this music brings. Softly it rings. Softly it clings to my heart. Angels are
I'd like to thank Lamont Johnson, Jerry Hausner, and Marvin Miller, who were in tonight's cast, and also our musical arranging staff for the Summer Railroad Hours, Warren Barker, Will Beitel, Carl Brandt, and Johnny Capers. The Emperor of San Francisco was written for us by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Because almost everything we use in our daily lives must be transported hundreds or even thousands of miles, it's important to know that the cost for moving these things by railroad has been, and continues to be, only a small fraction of the selling price. While the prices of most things have been moving steadily upward in an inflationary spiral, railroad freight rates have lagged far behind. Why, today, for instance, the average ton of freight has moved 1 mile by railroad for less than a cent and a half. And all along the line, freight rate increases have had such a small effect on costs that they are only a small fraction of the prices you pay for most things.
Well, summer's over, Gordon.
It sure is, Dorothy, and it's time to clear the tracks for our fall show train.
Well, it's been such great fun for me, Gordon, being with you this whole summer and presenting the premieres of 13 new musicals.
Well, one of the best parts was having you aboard, Dorothy.
Oh, thank you. Tell me, how are you starting the fall season?
With Rodgers and Hammerstein's great musical success, State Fair. And Dorothy Kirsten will be our guest.
Oh, wonderful. We'll all be listening. Good night, Gordon.
Good night, Dorothy. And we're looking forward to the next time you're aboard our show train.
All aboard?
Well, sir, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next week when we present Dorothy Kirsten in State Fair, this is Gordon McRae saying good night.
Gordon McRae can be seen in Warner Brothers on Moonlight Bay. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff. And our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
The preceding program was transcribed. Yasha Heifetz joins the Telephone Hour tonight on NBC.